the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois. We are live on a Sunday evening. We are back in your eardrums, where we belong, Jared. We have come home to American soccer's ear holes, right?
That's an interesting way of saying it.
Do you like being inside of somebody's ear hole? That's what I want to know from you today.
Oh, ear. Yes. Yes.
What else would I be insinuating except for ears?
Black holes. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know where that... I don't know.
By the way, if you want to wreck...
Oops.
Okay.
If you want to wreck, you and I both are a fan of the science fiction. Did you read The Martian, by the way?
I don't believe I read So I'm not necessarily a super hard sci-fi guy. I'm more of a fantastical sci-fi guy.
Okay, well, this one's a little bit... I would definitely recommend his new book, Operation Hail Mary.
I was about to say Operation Dumbo Drop, and I was like, I'm definitely in on that. Operation Dumbo Drop.
I really, really like it. If anyone out there is into some sci-fi, I'm really enjoying that book.
That's
right
how you're starting the show? We're doing a sci-fi rec right off
the
top
of the show?
We used to
do 10 minutes of Game of Thrones at the beginning of the show, okay?
Right, but there is no Game of Thrones now, and they ruined it for everybody. Nobody wants to binge that show anymore because the end was so bad.
But they're starting a new one. The prequels are going to be starting soon. Yeah. We might be able to start Boobs or Death again.
I would like to highlight, I don't know that you were necessarily a fan of this particular program, but I would like to highlight the shirt I'm wearing, which says Master Shake Football Club on it.
Casual fan for me.
Okay, so you watched a little bit of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but maybe not a lot of it. I watched a lot for a little while, but this is the direct result of a joke I made about the Columbus Crew logo, the new one, before the whole shebang changed it a little bit. It still looks like this, though. With a couple of stars stacked on top, somebody said, oh, this looks like a soda cup with a straw in it. And I was like, well, it looks like Master Shake then, because Master Shake is basically a cup with a straw. And Olive and York, who do, you know, they're sort of those, one of those independent, you know, jersey makers out of some idea. They'll come up with something and make a jersey out of it for no reason. They're the ones behind this. I believe they might be actually working on a jersey, but there might be cease and desists involved. So I don't know how that works.
So you were saying, what, next time I have a really ridiculous like idea for a jersey, I need to get in touch with these guys, because I have them all the time.
You can do that, or you can hit up our boys at Icarus FC. Robbie Smuckler's doing work, too. And we are charging forward on Old Dad FC stuff. Speaking of Old Dad FC, this old dad just celebrated his son's four-month birthday.
You're doing that? You're doing the month thing?
I'm married to a woman. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
I know you're married to a woman, yes.
I'm married to a first-time mother. What do you think is going to happen? Is she going to be like, oh, we're just going to let that one pass?
I'm just saying, you could let it pass.
So when my wife says, let's take some photographs of our four-month-old.
No, you can do that, but I'm just saying you don't have to come on the show and say it's my kid's four-month anniversary.
I love my kid. What are you trying to do here? I
don't. Let me know his 1800 day anniversary too, or something. Like, where do you stop? Where does it stop?
So what you're saying is, don't mention it to you until he's 365 days old. That's when I can mention it to you.
Get a present or get hyped.
I'm not. This is not a present giving event.
I'm happy your child has survived to 4 months. Yes, but I'm just saying I don't know what the response is to this.
It's a low key shock.
You said she's a first time mother. I've been with a first-time mother. It's shaky for a while. At least you were there.
Your kid didn't die.
Support
Good
system.
Job. All right. We are lined up for a lot of stuff. Now, we exist right now, Jared, in like the Schrodinger's cat of U.S. men's national team rosters. Do you know what I'm talking about there? You're a sci-fi guy. You know, get your handle on science.
Is the
there?
Roster really the roster until you look at the roster?
Sort of like there's a roster, but there's also going to be another roster tomorrow that's better and more specific than this roster. So the roster we have is kind of the roster, and we can talk about this roster, but really it's not the actual roster. And tomorrow there will be another roster which will come out, and people will go, well, why do we care about what Jason and Jared had to say about that roster? Because there's this other roster.
They both exist, and they both are valued. Like the one that we're going to talk about initially is the actual roster for Switzerland. That's important. That game's a week from tonight. Mm-hmm. And there's a few omissions to it, and we'll get to those. But it's important to acknowledge what this roster is going to be like, and then maybe we can have a conversation about who's making it and who's not making it to the one that's going to be released tomorrow. By the time some people hear this tomorrow, they're going to already know, but it could be entertaining to see how off we are.
Okay, so yeah, so if you're listening to this after the official Nations League roster drops, what you can do is find us on Twitter at Besties Soccer, or hit us up on Instagram at The Best Soccer Show, or find us individually. Jay Rhodius, you already know the name, right? It's in the it's in the annals.
Jay Rhodius.
That's what your name is, right? Your name is in the
J
annals.
J to the R to the O-D-S, yes.
You just left out a... You left out letters.
Odious.
Oh. That makes it sound like you stink. Or, like, is that odorous?
That's odorous.
Oh, odorous.
Odious, I mean, is like true too, but
odious is like evil or bad or noxious though. Like
Oedipus. Okay.
That's different. That's having sex with your mom. Oh, that's not something. All right, Jay Rhodius on Twitter, Davis JSN for me. And you can get in with your thoughts on how wrong we were. This is 27 players, Jared, sort of again called up because there are some circumstances preventing the players we would expect to be there to be with this group ahead of the Switzerland game. That's what this is, right?
Yeah, so the goalkeeper pool is suspect for sure. Like, the first thing that shocks you when you look at this roster is like, oof, man, one of these guys has to start. And but the other thing is, I think there's two main people missing from the field positions.
Right, so, okay, yes, I guess that's true. Because while Zach Steffen may technically be available a week from tonight, he'll probably be either hungover or just not in a mood.
I mean, you don't want to make the guy travel overnight, too, to play.
Overnight? It's like a 30-minute flight from where they're playing in Portugal, right? So it's I don't know how long it is from Portugal to Switzerland, but it's not that far. That's like going from Boston to Cleveland. It's nothing. Like, it's San Diego to San Francisco is probably
a longer
flight.
I like
you had to
give me West Coast. Like, I couldn't figure out what the East Coast cities you did. Like, what am I, a dumbass over here?
You seem to be one of those people who thinks the Midwest shouldn't exist, so I don't know exactly where you fall on all of this stuff, to be honest with you. Nicholas Soup and Salad.
Talk to me
sausage,
in West Coast terms.
Nicholas Soup and Salad, excuse me, lives in the Midwest, but every time it comes up that he lives in Ohio, you're like, oh, that's the East.
That's ridiculous.
What is that?
That's ridiculous. My wife and I were quoting like states we've been to on the East Coast today, and I was like, Ohio. Like, I don't know if that counts though, because like Jason and Nick kind of tell me that's not East Coast, but to me, that's like one state away from the eastest you could go.
Okay, I suppose you can get from.
Do you consider?
Ohio
do you consider
to...
If you're talking about the West Coast, would you consider Nevada or Arizona?
I wouldn't say coast. I would say that is west. I mean,
Eastern Seaboard, is that different? I don't know.
Eastern Seaboard has to be on the coast. You're talking about you're talking about Maryland. You're talking about New York. You're talking about Massachusetts. That's the Eastern Seaboard. You can't be on this.
So how ridiculous would it be? How ridiculous would it be if I called Nevada the Mideast? How ridiculous does that sound to you? What you guys are doing with Ohio,
it's
and it's not acceptable.
No, but okay, but do you want, well, you know the history of this, right? You know why
no,
it's called
if
that,
I didn't,
right?
I probably wouldn't be as pissed off as I am.
The reason, because the country wasn't like fully explored and we didn't even have the travel ability to get from East Coast to West Coast in 4 hours or 5 hours. It used to be like literally a train to St. Louis would take you 3 days. So when people say Midwest.
So because people had a myopic view of the geography of the United States,
no,
I have to be cursed
not,
200 years
it's,
later.
It's not myopic. It's just
it is myopic. That's all they could see at the time. That's all they knew about. That's why it's myopic.
Okay. I don't know why this offends you so much. I don't know. What were we talking about? Oh, getting from Portugal to Switzerland. Zach Steffen's not going to play against Switzerland, Jared. That's what we've established.
Yeah.
So the goalkeepers in this group are Ethan Horvath, who has played. Let me pull this up real quick. How many minutes do you think Ethan Horvath has played in the 2020, 2021
Whoa, Jesus.
Belgian season? How many?
Oh,
how
man.
Many?
Man, I will say he has played 450 minutes.
Zach Steffen in the first division of the
Are they
Belgian
Ethan
League.
Horvath?
Huh?
You just said Zach Steffen. You meant Ethan Horvath.
Oh, I meant Ethan Horvath. Sorry. Yes, Ethan Horvath. I thought I said... Okay, I'm setting you up to talk about Ethan Horvath.
Yeah, that's what I was
roster.
Saying. I said 450 minutes.
For Ethan Horvath?
Yeah.
Ethan Horvath has played 90 minutes in the entire Belgian season.
I gave him credit for five games. It was only
He played one single match and started
Does that include cup games?
I see no difference. I just see the league. So I don't, if there are any cup games, maybe he played some some cup games, but I don't have that information. Let me see. I can look that up. Give me 1 second here. Just got to find match logs for...
It'd be interesting that if... Let's say Ethan Horvat did play every cup match for Bruges. Who would have more minutes on the year? Ethan Horvat or Zach Steffen? I don't know.
Oh, that's a good question. Zach Steffen has... Or sorry, Ethan Horvath. Again, getting... Sorry.
He had to step in for Ederson a couple games, though, in the Premier League, too, I believe.
He did. Ederson got hurt a couple times. He's got way more minutes than Ethan Horvath. Ethan Horvath has played 180 minutes between... No, he's... I'm sorry. He's played 270 minutes. He played a Champions League game against Zenit St. Petersburg back in October. He then played a league match that same week in Belgium and started and played 90 minutes. And then he played a first division playoff match on May 23rd. That's today.
Two games today. In 1 week? Man, that kid, like, then his season was over.
They lost
today
and
he played. He played two games in 1 week and then didn't play again for one game the whole season.
But why did he play today? Who's the goalkeeper, the Belgian goalkeeper?
Probably his last game of the season. It probably didn't matter.
It says playoff, though. So I don't quite know. Anyway, I don't think he's the number two. So Jason's saying three games all year and he's not a number two keeper. He's not, right? It has to be...
It's Matt Turner.
We think it's Matt Turner. We do. We seem to have lost Nicholas Soup and Sausage. He just disappeared. And now our screen is getting all...
Yeah, Nicky Soup and Sausage out. But for the podcast listeners, they'll never know. Yeah, so the backup keeper is definitely going to be Matt Turner. The question is the third. And right now, the unfortunate thing is with Matt Turner also not brought for this. And I'm not sure. Do you think Bruce Arena just wasn't okay with letting Greg Berhalter take Matt Turner?
Yeah, there are some weird ones where there's some MLS players here, but others are not. And that is confusing. And obviously, part of this is that this is not an international window. Like, it's not a break. There's no... Not yet, anyway. The first part, the Switzerland game, does not fall in the FIFA window. So you can't call up anybody you want and have them released. The MLS players were obviously negotiated, I guess.
So here's the thing. Bruce Arena, two-time former national team coach of the United States, a little bit messed up that he doesn't let his guy loose for this, if that's how it went down?
If that is preventing... If it prevents Matt Turner from getting an opportunity to solidify himself as the number two goalkeeper, then yeah, it's kind of messed up. I would think so. But maybe there's an agreement there. Maybe they've worked out some sort of power-sharing agreement. I don't know. How do you think Bruce treats Greg Berhalter, considering that, you know, Bruce failed and then left eventually but didn't really take any responsibility? They had to go through the Dave Sarakin interim period before Berhalter.
This is how he gets Bruce back at us?
I don't know. Bruce is weird. He's a weird cat. He's just
okay,
strange
so two
individual.
Two spots have to be getting back on this between the Sunday and Monday announcements. The Sunday roster right now, as we see it for a Switzerland game, and the Nations League roster due out tomorrow. Two of these keepers are going to get dropped. It's going to be Odunze and David Ochoa, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably going to end up being Stefan Turner and or Ethan Horvath on the roster, right, for the 23
men. Would you be surprised if David Ochoa starts against Switzerland?
No, I would not be surprised. No,
strong U23 campaign.
I don't think there's anything to be surprised about from this particular game. It's going to be nuts. I mean, they're going to be as many first choice players as possible, but none of these goalkeepers are first choice. So why don't you just roll the dice on the youngest player?
The most interesting thing that's going to happen on this entire field against Switzerland is to see who lines up next to John Brooks. That's the number one thing right now.
That's
because
right.
For people who don't know, haven't listened since last week and out of the news cycle, Aaron Long's out 6 months probably.
Oh,
minimum.
He's done for the entire 2021 year.
I think Beckham came back
from
his Achilles in about 6 months, if I remember correctly. It's a long-term injury.
Dude's not playing until 2022 for the national team. He might be able... No, I don't think he's even going to get to the end of the season for MLS.
Luckily, for him, World Cup's in the winter. You know, even the summer, he may not have been ready for the summer, to be honest with you. With getting
he would be ready.
Like
he'd
that.
Be ready, but yeah,
form
in terms of fitness and form,
about.
Sure. Sure, I think that's probably true. All right, let's move on because goalkeeper is really not all that interesting here because, again, the first and second choice are probably not in the team. Defenders are John Brooks, Reggie Cannon, Justin Che, Serginho Dest, Mark McKenzie, Matt Miazga, Timothy Ream, Brian Reynolds, and Anthony Robinson, and DeAndre Yedlin.
Couple surprises here. The Justin Che is surprising, playing with the Bundesliga the Bayern Munich second team. There's rumors that they're going to take him on full from the temporary loan from Dallas.
Yeah, I think they're talking about like $3-4 million or something like that for him, which is a step up. They paid 1.5
Dallas
for Chris
pipeline.
Richards.
Like, here's a pick or poison for you. Which is the better pipeline right now? The Dallas.
Okay, hold on. Who's got the better pipeline? Not the Keystone.
Laying better pipe? Who's laying better pipe?
Not the pipeline that got shut down by the hackers, but some other sort of pipeline.
Do you like Dallas pipe or do you like New York Red Bull's pipe?
This is getting uncomfortable. Let's back it. Let's just chill, back it down.
Who's got the bigger pipe?
The Red Bull's pipe or the Dallas pipe?
Let's say better. Not bigger.
The better pipe. Man, so you're saying size doesn't always matter when it comes to pipe. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, because you want the copper pipe. You don't want that. I mean, you don't want that old ceramic stuff, or you want PVC.
Ceramic, PVC, copper. Okay, they're getting real deep on this pipe stuff. Oh, damn. I will say, man, I think the Dallas pipeline is proven to just be churning them out. And you didn't throw in Philly, by the way, which I think has a shout for all of this. But I think what you're trying to say is that they send kids more often. New York is sending players more. Is that what it is? I mean, I don't know. Matt Miazga, Tyler Adams, who else gone? I mean,
from the New York, I have Jozy Altidore back in the day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. But does that count as part of the pipeline or is that pre-pipe? That was pre-pipe period.
I think the trenches were dug.
Okay. All right, they had a missile out there doing.
But listen, just so impressed with Dallas. I mean, Justin Shea, another one. I mean, you've got so many guys coming. Like Brian Rust. There's a number of people right here. I mean, how many people just from the Dallas pipeline are in this squad now in Europe? You have Justin Shea. You have Brian Reynolds. You have Weston McKennie. Who else came through there? Did Brian Reynolds come through that? I mean, not Brian Reynolds. Why am I blanking?
Dallas players in Europe? You're talking about Dallas players in Europe right now,
yeah,
right?
Chris Richards, did he come through?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he didn't play at all for Dallas, but he came into their academy from Alabama.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys in this U.S. national team, this pool, that are coming out of Dallas, dude. It's amazing what they're getting
It's a pipe that fills the pool, that feeds into the pool. It's a pipe that goes to the pool. We got pipes and pools on this show. All right. Look, as you said, who's going to line up next to John Brooks is an interesting question. Reggie Cannon, we like. Justin Shea is an experiment, just to get him in the camp, get him a taste. Who knows?
Do we know why Chris Richards is not in this squad?
Good question. I think he was carrying a bit of an injury into the final weekend of the Bundesliga season. I don't know why he wouldn't be there, and maybe he'll be on the final roster because I think he's ahead of almost everybody who isn't named John Brooks, right? In terms of center backs.
I think this might be the benefit that Mark McKenzie gets to. Maybe he gets the guy that gets to be paired against the John Brooks. Matt Miazga, not in this as well. Oh, no, Matt Miazga isn't, excuse me. So yes, that's probably
Miazga's
going to
start.
Starter.
He's going to start, absolutely. Matt Miazga is going to start, and we're going to get a little bit of a taste of what that pairing looks like, which we expected to be the pairing, right?
Yeah, yes. I think the Miazga and Brooks pairing is probably going to be the default now without Long there. You might see a taste of someone else in the second half. If I'm Greg Berhalter, I'm giving at least 30 minutes to someone like Mark McKenzie or something like that just to see a different take.
Okay, I'm just taking a look here. Final day of the Bundesliga season, Hoffenheim beating Hertha Berlin 2-1, and Mark McKenzie not involved. Chris Richards. That's what I meant. Chris Richards not involved. So you're an injury issue for Chris Richards, I guess.
And I'll be honest with you. As we start to get to the midfielders, I'm surprised Tyler Adams is in this. A lot of talk about his back problems. Not play. They sent him home from camp at Salt.
You don't want to get sent home from camp. Maybe it's I guess. Well, it depends on what kind of camp you're at. I'm just thinking about like being in summer camp as a kid. Yeah, if you go home from camp, it's something bad happened, right?
Couldn't make a friendship bracelet.
So you fell in the pond,
yeah,
and got covered in leeches.
You mentioned this, and what kind of surprising, DeAndre Yedlin gets a call in here. I mean, third option right back, maybe third. We're so assuming third. I mean, all the reports out of Turkey is that he's playing very well there, showing well. I still think he's third option behind Serginho Dest and Reggie Cannon, but I guess he's going to get his chance to
We talked about this. I think if you have more, first of all, he's a change of pace player. I don't know that he's a starter, but think about you're late in the game. You bring DeAndre Yedlin on. He's going to just scare the crap out of people with that speed. So
yeah, and as we start to get to the midfielders, I mean, there's a lot of defensive minded midfielders in that Greg chose to take in this. DeAndre Yedlin definitely a second half change of pace player in the midfield potentially.
Not two, perhaps. I mean, he's such a wide player. It's kind of hard to imagine him in this setup playing in a midfield position. But who knows? Midfielders are Kellen Acosta, Tyler Adams, you mentioned, Julian Green, who just helped his team win promotion to the Bundesliga. Jared Guenther Fürth is going up.
Dude topped a ball into the net.
Okay, he's still there. He's still making stuff happen. Julian Green, the ghost of soccer past, coming back into the team.
He's got a ghost of hairline past. You seen that?
You're saying that. Maybe by replacing Landon Donovan in the 2014 U.S. national team roster.
I'm just saying, he's got the silhouette of a famous American player.
Hold on. No, I'm just imagining. Now I'm just he took Landon's power and by doing so brought upon himself a curse. And that curse.
No, it's Jurgen Klinsmann's fault. Jurgen Klinsmann doomed Julian Green by taking him instead of Landon Donovan and doomed him to that hairline.
Oh, so the curse is the curse of Jurgen Klinsmann that is upon Julian Green. Wow,
yes.
That is deep stuff. Sebastian Letjet, Weston McKennie, which is what we said, Spaghetti Weston, or what was the other one? Lone Star. What else do we have for Weston McKennie? We're going to go through all of those, the Europeans who had stuff to play for, the European-based players who had stuff to play for on the final day. We're going to go through that, too. So just hold your horses on thinking about that. Yunus Musah, Jackson Yule. I mean, again,
very
I think
defensive,
this is...
man. This is very defensive. You got Kellen Acosta, you got Tyler Adams, you got Jackson Yule, Weston McKennie, which is not necessarily defensive, but can be. There's no Luca Della Torre here. I mean, I'm surprised that Kellen Acosta and Jackson Yule and Julian Green all went and not Luca Della Torre.
Okay. You have a thing for Luca.
I have a thing for finding some offense here from the midfield somewhere.
Well, but this is not
what's
how
your offensive. Okay, if you don't have Weston McKennie, what's your offensive option?
Hold on a second, okay? The ideal team that Berhalter likes to put out, or has in the past, what we've been able to see, is a midfield group of Tyler Adams at a defensive midfield spot, number six kind of role, Yunus Musah and Weston McKennie ahead of him. Yunus Musah is a player who can cover ground, but also does well carrying the ball forward through the midfield into the attacking third, right? Drawing defenders, setting things up. Weston McKennie is just he's the Tasmanian devil, right? He's just all over the place. He's crashing the box. He's winning balls in the air. He's pressing high. He's doing all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
None of those players, you would not call any of those players attacking players. What you would call them are well-rounded dual midfielders, right? Two-way midfielders. What you're saying to me is that you don't think of Kellen Acosta or as Julian Green or Sebastian Letjet as two-way midfielders. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Because they are.
You're rating as if I'm talking about Luca Della Torre as a starter. I'm not talking about a starter.
No, I understand
I'm talking
that.
About a change of pace, offensive substitution late in a game because you're behind. Who are these guys you going to take off the bench to help you get a goal if you're behind? That's my problem. It's Julian Green right now, which is an unproven guy at the national team level. At least Luca has played in the system at some point. It's a friendly. It's not a must-win game, but I'm telling you, I feel that there's way too much passivity in this midfield bench.
Okay, I guess I can see what you're saying. I don't know that that's how Berhalter thinks of those roles, and I don't think even off the bench he's looking for an out-and-out attacking player to fill in one of those three midfield spots, which is more of the platform for the front three, right? The front three is where you're looking to get all your creativity.
So you're saying that even when he's a goal down, he's going to play the exact same style of ball that he is from the start of the game.
I think that his changes, I mean, I certainly think it's possible that Brendan Aaronson can slide into the midfield and take over for a Musah, and now you've got a more creative midfield option alongside Weston McKennie. I think that's certainly possible. Why isn't that something that could happen?
But Giovanni
Reyna
could...
Hold on, whoa. Giovanni Reyna can play in those spots, which we've seen him do it with Borussia Dortmund. So what you're saying is you don't think of any of these forwards as midfield options because those midfielders are absolutely defensively minded for the most part or two-way players.
Yeah.
But that's because the positional delineations in this roster are kind of meaningless when the game breaks down and you're chasing a goal.
I'll say that I think that Luca Della Torre got sacrificed to bring Julian Green in for a game to get a look. And that's cool. That's Berhalter's call. If he wants to get a guy into a camp to take a look at him, that's his call. He's seen Luca Della Torre. I just think that one guy is playing week in, week out in the Eredivisie. The other guy's playing the German Bundesliga and doing okay. You know, like I just.
Oh wait, hold on. Are you making the argument that the Eredivisie is a better league than the second Bundesliga? That's what you're saying. That's your argument.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd be curious.
Did you see
his
goal today?
I'd be curious to know if people think the same as you. Because
and by the way,
a lot of people...
I've never had less good feelings about the championship until I watched Daryl DK playing in there. Holy crap.
Where do you think is where do you think the better defending is? Second Bundesliga or the Eredivisie?
Eredivisie. I mean, sorry, the second Bundesliga.
Yeah, second Bundesliga, right? And Julian Green is a player who has had a good attacking season in a league with better defending.
Okay, how many premier teams in Europe are selecting players from the second Bundesliga versus Ajax, Feyenoord, PSV? Who's getting their? Where are they getting their talent?
Whoa. You just brought up three teams that Americans aren't playing at. He's playing at Heracles. Okay, he's playing, but that's not Ajax. You're talking about competition for places.
You were talking about leagues.
No, I understand that, but you're making the argument that Luca Della Torre is playing in a better league than Julian Green. That's what you said, right?
Yes.
And then you said how many teams are taking
There's
players?
There's more
that aren't...
talent there.
I'm not sure that's true. To be honest with you, I don't have the coefficients in front of me.
But you're going to do this. But when I tell you that Terrence Boyd has almost 20 goals in the third barrier, you roll your eyes every
time. That's a third division. What are you talking about?
But the guy's eating up the third division. It's slightly worse than where Julian Green is.
That's not. Are you serious? You're serious right now. You think that's slightly worse? The third division in Germany, slightly worse than.
Is he getting promoted to? Is he going to be in the second Bundesliga next year?
Okay, he's not there now, is he? He's not dropping in 30. Okay, look, I don't think we need to get as granular as we are on midfield options because, again, I think what you're talking about is a system that Berhalter plays and how he addresses a late-game scenario once he's down a goal. That's going to be a test. Maybe it's wrong for him to bring in a couple, but I think Julian Green is an attacking option in the midfield. I think Sebastian Lletget is an attacking player in the midfield. He might start in certain circumstances, but he's going to be a backup when you have everybody available.
I just don't think Kellen Acosta is a national team caliber player. I just don't.
Okay,
sorry,
that's fine. That's fine. That's your opinion. I think Kellen Acosta is here because Tyler Adams his back is wonky, and you need to be looking for somebody to help fill that
spot.
That's
Jackson Yule's job, not his.
I understand that, but do you think there's only one? He wants to look at one player in this position and not maybe consider other options. And Kellen Acosta is Sebastian Lletget light, and whether you like that or not.
Okay.
I think that's what the thought process. Maybe he's more defensive than Lletget.
I think so.
Okay, fine. Then you're talking about Sebastian Lletget is a 60-40 player or a 70-30 player.
Yeah.
Maybe not 65-35. And Kellen Acosta the other way around, attacking to defense. Right.
That's how I think of him. Maybe
they're
wrong.
Inverse. They're inverse box to box midfielders is what we're talking about here. So I don't know. Brendan Aaronson, Daryl DK, Matthew Hoppe, Giovanni Reyna, Josh Sargent, Jordan Cibicu. And Tim Weah are your forwards. Any thoughts there? Cibicu's, a nod to a European-based player when you don't have, for whatever reason, Jossi Zardes. He's not coming.
I think all these picks are really good. Without Pulisic available, at least one of these guys, is going to get dropped for the roster that comes out tomorrow. I think it's likely Matthew Hoppe. But I think this is the right group. Maybe you could make the case that Jossi Zardes would be there, but I think it's kind of rough to pull him out of Columbus right now with this many guys you still need to look at in the European pool.
Going back to the Acosta thing, this is good from Kevin. Acosta is McKennie light, but with good dead ball service.
Yeah, who's our dead ball service guy on the full national team?
I think it's going to be Gio. I think it is going to be Gio.
We
and
haven't
I'm not
ever
saying...
really had a good dead ball person since Eddie Lewis, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it kind of feels weird, like just ad hoc. Like, who's
Isn't
our
Eddie
who's
Lewis
our dead
the ball? Last good dead ball service like distributor? I mean,
I remember
can't...
Donovan taking a lot of them, then they weren't always that good.
Dempsey took some. I mean, who's the American player from 25 yards out for a shot? Does it exist?
You mean from a dead ball situation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now.
Who's a free kick specialist here? I don't know.
I don't. But see, here's the thing. Pulisic doesn't take them with Chelsea, so I don't really have a book on him. I can't remember the last time he took one for the U.S. men's national team. I think Gio would probably be my first choice, but I'm just saying that on gut, not necessarily because I think it's the way of. Okay.
I'll give you this. Kellen Acosta is better than most of those guys at that. I'll give you that for sure.
But I don't. Maybe on service, but I don't know if I want him taking a direct free kick on goal from 25 out. Like, I don't want that, right?
He's hit some bangers in MLS from outside the box.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that's the 27-man roster that's going to be dead in the water when we get to the real one tomorrow for the Nations League. But this group is training. There's that. I think what we should do now, with that in mind, and I don't know that this is going to I guess this is going to inform the starting lineup. Do you want to roll through that real fast?
No, I'd rather go to seeing the trim. Let's do the trim because we got to trim three guys from 27. Okay. Four guys from 27 to 23. And then you've got to find a way to get guys in that aren't in right now that you know you have to make room for.
How depressing is this from Paolo? The last free kick specialist was
I don't know that he's wrong.
Good
dude.
Lord, man. That's,
I mean,
that makes
me feel old. And Precky were contemporary. Both left footers.
For sure. All right. I'm not all that interested in trimming, but if you want to do it, we can do it. All right. So we think that Odunze and Ochoa are going home after this.
And that's just replacements. That's not truly a trim. That's just getting the guys in that need to be in. So you're not So what we can do first, that's a like for like. That gets the two keepers in, Matt Turner and Zach Steffen. We got to make room for Pulisic, and I think Matthew Hoppe steps aside for Pulisic.
Okay.
Is there any other legitimate starter not in this that you have to make room for that's not
legitimate
there now?
Starter?
Chris Richards, if he's healthy?
Yeah, I think if Chris Richards is healthy, he should be added. I don't know. If he's not in this team, it makes me think that they don't think he's ready to play.
Okay, so let's solve that problem first. Who do you drop to get? I think you dropped Che to get... Richardson.
Well, remember that this is a 27-man team, and so you're talking about the four spots.
Get everyone in, and then we need to trim three positions.
Yeah, well, if Richards is coming, then Che's going home no matter what. He's going home no matter what. It's just whether or not there's another player that comes in.
Yeah, let's assume that Chris Richards is coming in. Let's assume he just needs to be rested, and they're giving him an extra week or two of rest, and he's coming in for the Nations League.
Well, okay. So what you're, I think you, so I, you're going to drop four players in total from 27 to 23.
Yeah, first we're just taking starters into this, and then we'll trim four people.
You're required to take three keepers. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Chris Richards comes in
for Che.
Sure. Okay. You want to look at it that way?
Now we got to trim four more players.
Well, okay. So this is what I'm saying. Like, I think Mark McKenzie probably doesn't make the final 23.
I think that is likely one of him or Tim Ream. I think DeAndre Yedlin gets cut. I don't think you take three right backs.
I don't think Ryan Reynolds comes. I don't think Ryan Reynolds is on the final 23. I think DeAndre Yedlin is ahead of Reynolds.
So if Reynolds gets cut, McKenzie probably gets cut. Yedlin maybe?
Well, I think you only need to drop two defenders, and then you're going to take two players from the other
positions. I think
either
Kellen Acosta or Jackson Yule gets dropped, or Julian Green.
I think Green's going to get dropped. I don't think Green's going to be on the final 23.
There's three. So then the conversation is, do you drop one of the remaining forwards or do you drop another midfielder? I think it's probably a forward.
We already said Hoppy's not coming, right?
No, that was just a substitution to get Pulisic in. We got to drop one
more. Oh, right. Okay. Well, then Jordan Cibiu is probably the guy.
I think it's probably Cibiu as well. I think that's the move because you just can't afford to miss the opportunity to have DK and Sargent and get them good looks.
Well,
here's the thing.
So,
I will say Hoppe can be useful because he's so damn industrious defending front, and Berhalter likes that.
I do have a name, and I already mentioned him. I think Giassi Zardes makes the final 23 roster because it's a FIFA window you're playing in the States. There's no reason not to bring him if you want him as
So if you put Zardes in for Cibiu, you still got to trim one more player.
Right, I know. I think so. Hoppe's not coming. Cibiu's not coming. That's down to five. You add Zardes, that's up to six.
I think
six.
You drop Reyna. I mean, Yedlin. I don't know why I said that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Yedlin. Well, okay. I've got six forwards. We said that Julian Green's not coming. That's six midfielders. Oh, add Pulisic. Right. Of course, add Pulisic. So, all right. Yeah. Then DeAndre Yedlin probably isn't coming then. But that means your right back situation is Cannon.
Assuming Chris Richards comes.
Yeah.
Why are you worried about the right back situation? You've got Cannon and you've got Dest.
Dest. Right. That's true. Yeah, and Andy Robinson
at
left back.
And if Chris Richards comes, he can play right back.
He can. He can play left back. Actually, he's played left back too. Yeah. All right. So, I think this is going to be pretty much chalk for the most part. For the question earlier, somebody did ask, Pulisic and Zach Steffen obviously left out of this particular part of the training camp because of the Champions League final. We'll see how they feel coming out of that period. If they win, they're going to need a couple days. If they lose, hey, maybe they come right in and join the camp, and who knows, right?
Well, we do it before we move on from this because I know we got some European stuff to talk about. I know we had some words from Greg Berhalter that we maybe wanted to think about.
Yeah, yeah. So this is how Berhalter in the media that U.S. Soccer dropped. This is how Greg Berhalter talked about the way they're thinking about this sort of rhythm, the rhythm of this camp. Nikki Soup and Salad, do we have this video? All right, here we go.
But we've been looking at this carefully, and what we're seeing is that, you know, this is going to replicate the cadence of a player playing for his club team on the weekend, you know, flying across the ocean and then preparing for a 3-game block in World Cup qualifying. And we think this is really going to help us gather information on what the players are going through and what the load is going to be. We're going to use all 4 games to be able to test that out. And, you know, I think it's going to be unrealistic to expect, you know, all the same players to play in each game. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to be balancing. It's going to have to be a squad effort. And we're going to use this time in Switzerland to really bring the team together and prepare for this journey together.
All right, so there's Greg Berhalter. Was he at home, or is that an office situation? That was an office,
right? If he's got a translucent plexiglass staircase, he's doing pretty well for himself.
I mean, I was like, wow, I'm really impressed by Greg Berhalter's taste, but I think that was probably an office situation.
Well, here's what I like. He says 4 games. That dude is just, his mentality is we're in the final. That's his thinking. Like, he's only getting 4 games if you make Nation League's final.
No. I'm sorry to break this to you, but that is incorrect. Have the Switzerland game, you have a semifinal, and regardless of what happens, you play a second game because they're doing a third place game in the Nations League.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. You groan because it's dumb. You're right. It is. It doesn't make any sense. But
damn, dog, that's the equivalent.
This is the shootouts in all-star games kind of stuff that we do as Americans.
Right. Yeah. Why are we doing this? What's the point? So anyway, you're gonna get 4 games regardless. You know, they'll try to take the third place game seriously if they lose to Honduras. But by the way, if they lose to Honduras, I'm going to be screaming into a microphone.
There's
You're going to be screaming into a microphone. American soccer fans are not going to be too happy. So there's that to consider. All right. So all of that being said, and with this roster coming out on Monday, some of you will already have seen that by the time you listen to this. Let's talk about what these Americans have achieved, some of them, and where they were on the final day of the European season, Jared, because there was a bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah.
On Sunday in particular, let's start with Christian Pulisic, because Chelsea could beat Aston Villa and book their place in the Champions League regardless of what happens in the final, because if you win the final, you get a spot next year. They didn't do that. They didn't beat Aston Villa, but they got help because Leicester crapped the bet against Tottenham, which, I mean, I guess if you get
Pulisic
to fall backwards.
It's weird. And the talking point out there right now, Pulisic's better as a sub. That's the talking point that's out there
all over
the place.
I'm going to say this, though. I watched the first half of that very closely before life took me away. They did not play to him. I don't know if he was in bad spots. I don't know if he wasn't getting into position. But they did not play to him, and I just didn't understand what was going on there. There were a couple of moments where he got difficult balls. They put him in danger of being basically hacked to the ground or turning the ball over, and he did what he could. There were a couple of 1-2 opportunities that didn't get picked up. I think he had one where Mason Mount took a shot that was definitely better suited for his right foot than for Mason Mount to come flying in.
Yeah.
But that to me, that looked like Chelsea just not taking advantage of Pulisic's talent. But I know I'm biased, so I don't know what to say.
Here's the thing, though. We watch these games differently. We watch these games for the American player on the field.
This
is
true.
For a Chelsea fan, they're probably not thinking, oh, why is Pulisic not getting the ball? It's that the team is finding the best movements that they see on the field.
They were creating chances.
To see, like, oh, Pulisic. No one else is doing that.
He did pick up an assist, so it's not like he was completely anonymous in this game. They were creating half chances. They were creating kind of chances. I mean, Martinez had a bunch of saves, but it was always sort of like breadbasket stuff for him, at least in the first half. Again, I missed the penalty. I missed the things that happened in the second half. And Aston Villa was dangerous on the break.
This goes back to the conversation we had last week. Are we happy with Pulisic being a first off the bench Jisun Park of a Champions League winning team?
Right, I know.
Is that a bad thing?
Well,
this conversation. I don't know. I think that's still where we're at, kind
of. Well, this is the thing. This is the other thing. With him, right? That we know he's kind of made of balsa wood a little bit. So we're like, if he doesn't play tons of minutes, if he isn't getting fouled 10 times a game, we'll keep him, you know, safe and warm in a little cocoon on the sideline.
Let's put it on the record right now. You and me both. On the hot seat, is Pulisic starting in the Champions League final?
I think it's dodgy that he starts based on starting today. I think because of his pattern, and obviously Mason Mount started today, he's going to start the final. I think I'm reading how Thomas.
I'm asking this differently.
Yeah.
Is he the best player to start to win that game?
Considering it's Manchester City, probably not.
I don't think so either. I think you bring him on late, but and you try to let him do his thing.
There's no shame. Nobody's saying like, oh my God, it's just a disaster. If Pulisic didn't start the Champions League final. If he comes on and gets half an hour, especially if Chelsea's chasing the game and he makes some stuff happen, then that's going to be celebrated. We're going to celebrate that.
Worst case scenario,
right?
Is Chelsea goes into halftime up 1-0 and they don't use him because they don't need the offense.
I don't, but that is, you are playing with fire if you think you're going to hold a one goal lead over 45 minutes against Manchester City. If you're just going to lock it down and play Thomas Tuchel ball. Like, I just don't think that's smart.
Thomas Tuchel's difference has been made on the defensive end of the ball.
I understand that, but I'm saying that you have to at least be dangerous to keep Manchester City honest or you will get crushed. I just think that, Manchester City's the better team overall. It's going to take Stanley Tucci coming up with an excellent game plan and Chelsea executing, and by the way, taking their damn chances. And Nicolas Soupinsala just chimed in that Timo Werner, again, a bit of a mess in front of goal. Like,
Werner's time for Chelsea, I think, is short, but he fills a need in a position that Pulisic can't play, Mason Mount can't play.
Yeah. When Chelsea
Giroud
goes
is
out
too old to play for 90 minutes.
When Chelsea goes out and spends 150 mil on Harry Kane,
that's
and brings him to brings him to the other side of London, like what happens?
Okay. Then the question is, you start the Werner experiment out wide again, which takes you right back to where Frank Lampard was at the beginning
of
the season.
Then, but see, then again, somebody else has to go. Havertz has to go, or Ziyech has to go,
or
Callum Hudson. Yes, that's true. And we've already talked about I am very level about this. If Christian Pulisic is talented enough that some very good soccer team, maybe there aren't Manchester City, maybe they're not Bayern Munich, but some very good soccer team is going to go, we want that guy. And they're going to sign him, and they're going to bring him in, and he's going to be fine. And even if it's Leicester, they didn't make the Champions League, they failed today against Tottenham, whatever.
If Christian Pulisic ends up being Jack Grealish, is that a bad thing?
Yes, because Jack Grealish looks ridiculous. I don't think Aston Villa is the level I want him at. I want him at a better level than that. I want him at a team that's at least Champions League
caliber.
Doesn't
stop him from being a star in the Premier League, though.
Okay, I'll give you one right now. If Christian Pulisic ended up, they don't have the money for it, but if Christian Pulisic ended up at Wolfsburg, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. A Bundesliga caliber, a championship caliber team in the Champions League, and playing with one another American a starter.
Here's the thing, though. Wolfsburg is not, they're not the glamorous team of Germany. They're like kind of a podunk team. That's how they're thought of. But they're obviously, they do pretty well. They have the Volkswagen money invested. They are a Champions League team by virtue of their finish this year. They're not going to win the Champions League. They probably...
Is that the league you want him in, though?
Getting out of the group is a little dicey, and
I don't know if I want
to
him out of the Premier League. The Premier League is such a good stage. It's such a good stage, dude. Like, do you go back to the Bundesliga?
I have a better one for you. Oh, my God. I have a good one for you. What if Christian Pulisic ended up at Atletico Madrid? How would you feel about that? Think about the way that they play. Think about what he does well. What if Christian Pulisic was at Atleti?
I mean, the counterattack would be awesome. You know, like, it'd be pretty cool, to be honest with you. I'd be totally okay with that. For some reason, the Spanish league...
It feels
type
weird,
of play,
right?
No, but the Spanish league is better for his type of game than the Bundesliga, in my opinion.
That's what I'm saying. He's not going to get hacked down. Obviously, he plays in a league where he gets some calls, but he's not going to get every one of those whistles. I do think he also milks some things. I don't know.
James says, respectfully, no, Pulisic has an impact 9 games out of 10. This isn't the situation you're painting it as. He can play at Chelsea level. I don't think either of us say he can't play.
Nobody's saying he can't play. We're talking about a manager.
I just don't know that he's the best starter.
We're talking about a manager who sees his talents and his ability as in a very specific light. That's what that's about. And Thomas Tuchel's not going to be at Chelsea forever, but then again, Christian Pulisic probably won't either. So you're kind of just saying, are we okay with Pulisic's role at Chelsea as it currently sits? And yeah. I mean, I kind of am. He's training at an incredible level. They're Champions League finalists. He's going to play some role, probably. And, you know, even if he's not a dead-on starter every week.
Nicky Subasic is like, why isn't Jesse Marsh bringing him over?
I mean,
would you rather be at Wolfsburg or Leipzig?
Oh, Leipzig for sure.
For sure.
I mean, for sure. Leipzig.
Think you're Brent Aaronson over there? No.
They might. They might. All right. We're going to run out of time. We're not going to talk about all these other Americans and what they achieved.
Yeah.
Again, Christian Pulisic and Chelsea making it into the top four in England because of Leicester's failure against Tottenham. You had Weston McKennie in Juventus, and they snuck in too. They snaked their way in.
Sure.
Sure.
It is kind of without Cristiano Ronaldo on the field.
What? Why? What was that all about exactly?
I said benched. I don't know. I don't know if that's benched. True or not. But
Cristiano Ronaldo got benched.
I'll say what this though. By having Ronaldo off the field, I'm not trying to advocate for this. It was the Morata and Dybala show, and it was pretty cool.
Well, so Cristiano Ronaldo absolutely is 100% a ball hog, right? I mean, he's a classic. You have to get the ball to him, and therefore everything tilts
just
in that direction.
When the goal celebrations happen when he's not the goal scorer. Who's the last man there? It's always Ronaldo, if at all.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The dude is always worried about who's taking his shine.
Yeah. Okay, some reported before kickoff it was a tactical decision. I'm looking at a blog for Juventus. Oh, others said that Ronaldo was feeling too tired, and Pirlo went from there. Fabio Paratici said it was more of a workload thing than a tactical thing. At this point, I have no idea what to believe, and I'll just leave it there. And then he talks about Dybala and Morata and what they did together. So again, Weston McKennie and Juventus making it in the Champions League, that's a big relief for me. I think it would have been a crushing thing for them, for the club, but for McKennie too, considering what he's done.
They're not having to sell players. They're going to have that money. I think it makes the safety of McKennie, it makes McKennie safer at that club. I think he's still part of the plan. I'm impressed with Rabiot in this game. I don't know if he's still there next year. I mean, they paid a lot of money from PSG to get him there. I don't know if he's playing enough minutes to justify it. So there might be a choice they have to make between Rabiot and McKennie in the offseason.
I like players whose names I can chant with the Rufio thing from Hook. So okay, let's just move on from there. Ronaldo said he was tired. That is bonkers, by the way.
Dude plays a lot of games though.
All right, what else? Tim Weah and Lil, they did it. America just
by
conquered
one point,
France,
I think. I think they won by one point.
They needed to win today. They won today. So that's it.
It's the 2020-2021 season is the best season of Europe for Americans of all time. It's not even close, dude. The amount of hardware that Americans have secured at their teams this year, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, by the way, I said America conquered France, but Jonathan David also scored today. He's Canadian, so I guess you could say Canada kind of conquered France as well.
One thing we couldn't conquer was promotion to the Premier League, because both Carter Vickers and Daryl DK out.
Yeah, by the way, Tim Weah did not play for Lille in the finale. He was on the bench, didn't play.
I kind of feel like he's got to move, dude. Like, I don't know.
Let's go back. Okay, let's go to the bottom or not. So Daryl DK, Cameron Carter-Vickers both go out in the semifinal round of the championship playoff.
DK didn't start.
Josh Sargent. What is that exactly?
I don't know, man. You need goals. It is an interesting choice, man. It was an interesting choice. I'm not sure why they chose to go
that
direction.
I got a clip for all you Orlando fans, and maybe just Americans, ready for this. Daryl DK. He's on the plane. He's taking his TikTok out, and he's making a little clip.
Is this Becky G?
Anyway, he plays that. He picks that song, and no, it's, I don't know, Skylar somebody.
They're all Skylar someone.
Yeah, you live in California. They're all Skylar.
Dude, the amount of Liams at my kid's school is ridiculous.
So Daryl DK, I mean, the future, we don't have a lot of time to dive into it, but the future is going to be interesting. He's going to play for Orlando as soon as they get him registered back.
Yeah, that makes me nervous, dude.
Yeah,
that makes me nervous, dude. Like, dude, I don't know. With the Derek Williams in this league, it makes me nervous for DK's value to be playing in MLS.
Okay, well, you know, now they got new owners. There's like the process of the ownership changes happening.
He's still
in
gone,
Orlando.
Though, right? Come August? He's gone come
he's
August.
He's got to be. There's I just no don't know way. How much.
Who sits on a $20 million bill?
That's a good question. It's so funny to hear Oscar Pereira. I mean, look, I get it. He wants him to play for him and help him win games. But it's so wild to hear Orlando be like, no, we're looking for more from this particular transaction. And it's like, no, you literally found a diamond in the ground that you did not know was there. Yeah. And you're going to look at somebody and say, no, I won't take $20 million for it. I need more from this. Like,
it's got to be it's just stuff for the press, right? It's to up the value. The problem is, that means between now and August, he's going to play 12 games. That's a lot of injury risk on your $20 million guy. Make the sale now and just don't even bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, managing his minutes is going to be interesting. All right, so I mentioned
he's going to be with the national team for a good amount of this time as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's going to have, he could be a Gold Cup player. We don't actually know about that yet. Josh Sargent got relegated. Werder Bremen didn't happen last year, happened this year. Obviously crushed by it. He has to go too, right? They're going to sell him because they need the money.
I don't think there's much else to sell on that team, to be honest with you.
Right. So if they can get $9-10 million for Josh Sargent, or euros, I guess.
Does he end up with another bottom feeder Bundesliga team?
Probably. Well, it depends on who has the cash. And I think that is pretty dicey. And I haven't seen any suitors lined up, but I could see Stuttgart. I think I've heard them mentioned. I think that would be a nice place to land. They're a very solid mid-table club. They got an American manager. Let's get Josh Sargent to a...
So Americans that need to move in the offseason. Tim Weah.
Yeah.
Josh Sargent.
You think Tim Weah needs to move? You think?
Okay, let's put above 50%. Like it should to need to.
Okay, well he's not a starter for sure. But it's Champions League club now. I mean it is.
Okay,
it's been,
players that if they were to move would be seem like okay that makes sense. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Okay. So go quick because we got a call that we need to get to.
All right, Tim Weah, Josh Sargent,
absolutely.
Matthew Hoppe.
Yes, for sure. Okay, you could say playing in the second league, Bundesliga is not a terrible thing for a guy that young with that limited experience, but I think he should go. I think he's good enough to play in the Bundesliga bottom half, but he's good enough. And Schalke needs money more than Werder Bremen needs money, so they might be happy to sell that.
Daryl DK, who we just talked about.
Absolutely.
I'm going to throw one more out there just like...
Well, kind of... Jason says Pulisic. We're going to push Pulisic to the side since we covered that a lot, but go ahead.
Yeah. Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Well, I mean, the dude's been on loan 8 billion times. I don't even think about it anymore. It's like, you know, it's like signing a 1-year lease on apartment after apartment. Like, you just, nobody knows where to find you after a while. It's like, what
the dude's on track to be the Kai Kamara of the championship.
he's like 4 or 5 deep already. Like,
what is he, only like 19 or 20 still? Isn't
he's
like
23.
Super young?
He's 23. He's 23. Okay. Yeah, he's been around for a while, but I'm still shocked he's 23.
Built like a milk truck.
Yeah, the guy's got some, he's got some meat on them bones. All right,
we got this dude on the line?
This is why we have to get to this. So Jared made a point of saying before the show that he wanted to talk about what came out of the U.S. soccer meetings, the board meetings that just happened this weekend. And one of the things we saw reports of U.S. soccer severing their relationship with Soccer United Marketing at some point in the future. Now, I'm going to admit that I'm a little bit behind this news. So I'm going to need our next guest, a man who we asked to call, and he said he was covering the union. I didn't know if he was going to make it.
Is that JTT?
It's our man, Jonathan Taylor Tannenwald, on the line. What's up, John?
I have such time until I get kicked out of Audi Field.
Okay. All right. So he's in D.C. at Audi Field, covering the union and D.C. United. And again, Jared wanted to... JTT is a D.C. guy. I don't know if you knew that. JTT from D.C. is how that works out. Give us what's going on here, John. Just like the thumbnail sketch of this, because it feels ground shaking in terms of marketing soccer in the United States.
Yes, well, there have been rumblings about this for a little while now. A couple of months. I started hearing something about it a little while ago. I wasn't sure whether it was really going to happen, but the U.S. Soccer Federation decided that they're not going to have Soccer United Marketing handle their marketing rights anymore. They're going to bring them in-house. And they're going to bring their TV rights negotiations in-house, too, which means they're going to split them off from MLS. And that has the potential to tell us a lot about where the money really is in American soccer.
So, John, one thing I want to ask you about is that, for people that don't know, SUM, owned by MLS, division of MLS, what, in the past, is the big hit for MLS going to be, because the way I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is World Cup qualifying, World Cup TV rights have always been bundled with some American stuff, some MLS stuff as well. Is that the big drop-off here MLS and the big danger for MLS is missing out on the World Cup television?
Go ahead, John. Yes, correct him. Please correct him.
Yes. So what you are thinking of is that some was launched for the 2002 Men's World Cup when no U.S. television network bought the rights.
Yeah.
What the package deal has been MLS, all of the U.S. men's national teams, home games outside of CONCACAF tournaments, and all the U.S. women's teams, home games, and probably a few road games too, outside of CONCACAF tournaments. So what's going to happen And what we would have heard in the past was that whatever total amount of rights fee revenue, like the current package is around $90 million a year for the whole shooting match. And we've never known how much money goes to MLS in terms of how what the value of the MLS rights are, nor the value of the U.S. national team games rights are, nor within that. So the value is of the men versus the women. And that's something I think we might get into.
Okay. So at this point, I mean, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to go there. Part of the USSF relationship that has raised a few eyebrows over the years is that because the MLS owners profit, or at least we assume they profit at some point, right? We don't know. But if they are profiting from this arrangement, then theoretically MLS owners are making some money off the success of the U.S. women because of the television ratings they're driving and the rights fees and the interest and the demand in those games. That's not going to happen anymore. I think they're going to learn some things about what the real market value of the television rights for the U.S. women are, because in this next cycle, the U.S. men are not going to play World Cup qualifiers, which means the most valuable men's games in the package are not going to be there anymore.
Right.
So is this them cutting an anchor off their rights deal with MLS? Is this just saying we've towed you long enough and we're just going to keep the profits for ourselves? Is it cutting
I'm
bait?
Curious
I don't think so.
MLS is. I mean, okay. MLS has been working towards a centralized broadcast model, right? Eliminating local rights deals and that kind of thing for a while. We've heard those rumblings, John. What does that mean in light of this news?
Well, Paul Tenorio wrote an article about this in The Athletic that I haven't had time to read yet. So I might be speaking a little out of turn here. I don't think this is about MLS. I think this is more about U.S. soccer. I don't think it's as much about MLS.
Well, yeah, because U.S. soccer is the one making the decision, but MLS is affected by this. I mean, obviously, MLS, yes. I don't think, wants to be taken out of it. SUM's a huge moneymaker for them. Like, why would they want to lose this arm off this appendage off their body? So, I mean, MLS is going to take a hit on this, right, John? Especially,
I'm not saying
I don't know.
MLS
you tell me. I'm not sure.
I'm not saying MLS wanted to lose. I think it was probably amicable in the end. But I think that I have a hunch from what I understand that the U.S. Soccer Federation said it's time to go our own way. And I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I mentioned we're going to find out some things about the value of the rights to the U.S. women. I would not be surprised if this might play a little bit into the lawsuit that's going on right now. We might, I'm not saying we're going to find out some things about the history of it, but it might allow in the course of, and oh, by the way, the men don't have a CBA. Still, they haven't had Jason, 3 years?
Yeah.
Both these teams are going into collective bargaining later this year. We might find out some things. I think it's probably saved the U.S. Soccer Federation a headache or two to make this that
far. All right.
Well, John, I'm sure that maybe sometime this week the Philadelphia Inquirer may have you put a piece out on this. And if that happens, people need to be watching it, because once John gets all the details on this,
nice
he's the guy to go
nice
to.
Nice of you
that's
to put the agency on my editors like that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the thing, and I hope your editors realize this. For those of us that when we think about these types of stories, I think first thing I think of is John Tannenwald. Like Paul Tenorio as well.
That.
You're the two guys that we think about when it comes to this. So I really hope that there'll be a better a piece out there later in the week through your outlet where you get to speak on this, because you're very well informed on it.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, it's going to take me – I don't know that I'm going to be able to get it done this fast.
He's got to go deep.
But, well, I might get deep, but I might come back later with a better story if I can.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah. Well, yes. Go ahead.
This is not a story that one turns around very quickly necessarily, except to report the initial news. Look, I think there are more players out there for U.S. national team rights than there have ever been. I would not be surprised to see CBS or NBC take a swing at U.S. national team rights now that it can get them on its own. It might not. I don't know. You would think that Fox will still try to keep something because they have the World Cup through 26. You would think that ESPN will try to keep something because they're ESPN and they like having the U.S. national teams. You know that. They've been, you know, ESPN's been the home of the U.S. national teams for, my own, what, 30 years now? Who knows? 20 plus at least.
It'll be strange. I mean, I think that I mean, I'm not saying it'd necessarily be worse, but it would be strange if the U.S. men's national team moves away specifically from ESPN, but also from Fox. I mean, just considering the personalities and the people that have been involved in coverage of the team from those two outlets and, you know, what kind of shakeup it brings. I don't want to get too inside my industry, but what kind of shakeup it brings on that side, too. You know, who ends up where because the national team has moved beyond the two traditional broadcasters.
Well, and I think that, oh, and you think about it, you know, obviously NBC has the Olympics. They might have some interest in the U.S. women or in the U.S. men. CBS has this CONCACAF package now. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go in. There will be, I think it is not too presumptuous to say that there would be more bidders for a U.S. national team package than an MLS package. And I don't say that to indict MLS. It's simply that it's fewer games. You don't have to make as much room in your stadium.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're different products. I mean, they're different products.
I also think
they're
for
different.
MLS, it, more and more, the appeal is the overseas rights. I think people that are trying to fill schedules overseas, MLS is doing pretty well in that. I think the American package is the biggest thing anymore.
Well, when you, right, when, you gonna, Jerry, when you talk about the splitting of... Go ahead, John. Sorry, you go first.
No, Jason, go ahead. I'm going to put my thoughts together first.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, splitting these things up seems weird because that's always how it's been. And yes, people will say, well, it's U.S. soccer carrying MLS on rights, and that's why MLS even gets anything out of these deals because whoever's buying the rights wants the U.S. games. This is going to be interesting in terms of what it means for MLS because I think MLS is probably in a place of we want a completely committed 100% partner who's going to build out shoulder programming again, which they haven't had. They had to do that in-house, and maybe they can, but that's not ideal. You know, they're obviously we're living in a world of over-the-top platform stuff anyway and streaming services and all of that, and I don't know what MLS's thought process is, but probably they're open to an Amazon deal or a Hulu deal or whatever it is because there's money moving in those directions now, John.
I think that's possible. I think that MLS still values the broad reach of linear television for a league that still needs to be making broad reach steps, you know? And I think that here's in short my theory about MLS at this point. There have already been rumblings that ESPN has settled with them already and is going to stay on board. And in what form, we don't know. But I don't know anybody who expects ESPN to walk from it. The big question to me is going to be, is CBS going to bid? And, I mean, everybody, you and I know, all three of us know, would sure think, Jason, everything we've heard, that they're going to take a shot at it. They're certainly lining up a lot of puzzle pieces to do so. But the question is, what do they want? Because if what they want is the streaming package for Paramount Plus, but they don't care that much about the TV side of it. Now, they might like to have some TV side, but it's not their main priority. Their main priority is getting MLS on Paramount.
Yeah, go ahead.
So
hey, listen.
If it becomes clear that the streaming rights, and which are going to be expanded streaming rights, we suspect within market rights, that's what everybody's guessing right now. If that stays with ESPN, is CBS going to want it? And while that is happening, is Fox going to keep it? If Fox wants to keep it and CBS wants to bid in any situation, then all of a sudden MLS has a bidding war and they're very happy. But if Fox wants out and CBS only wants
John, let me ask you a question. This just thought randomly came to mind. I have no idea if this is even possible or in anybody's conception of what might come. But the size of the league now, the number of games, you know, obviously this right now it's Fox and ESPN are split in terms of the packages. What kind of smaller bites could be available? I mean, I'm thinking AFC, NFC kind of divisions, obviously multiple television partners for different leagues. How many different companies could be involved in the end?
We don't know. Again, it comes down to, I really think it's going to come down to what CBS is going to be okay with if they decide to go in on this. Because if they really want the streaming and ESPN wants to keep it, I can't tell. I genuinely cannot tell whether CBS will be happy with TV only. And, you know, It's also a little too early because they're still in the exclusive negotiating window with their existing outlets. And I should mention, too, we can't overlook Univision outlets. Because Univision is the outlet that's doing the show for programming. Right. Really wants to make a big investment in this league and has said so all along. And Juan Carlos Rodriguez, who's the president of sports, has said often, we are giving you this money so that you spend it on players, not so that you put it in your own pocket.
Yeah.
And what have we seen lately? Who are the players that are moving the needle in this league right now? Javier Hernandez, Carlos Vela, Gonzalo Higuain. Imagine how big a number. Okay. I mean, I think it is great to put LAFC against the Galaxy on Big Fox or on ABC, and they do a good job promoting it. Heaven knows if Vela had played the game, what was it, a week and a half ago, whatever it was, 2 weeks. If Vela had played that game, they would have done a really, really big number in primetime. Imagine Vela versus Chicharito on Big Univision. Tell me how big a number that gets.
Right, yeah.
You're telling me that people aren't tuning in for Gyasi Zardes every week?
Okay. Don't take shots.
Okay.
All right. John, we have to wrap this up and move along. I appreciate you calling in. I know you're a busy man. I know you got family to see and work to do, so we appreciate
you're
it.
The
Thank
man,
you, JTT.
John.
If the show was the reason why you weren't here tonight, that's an excuse, but we missed you.
Yes. I thank you. I was trying to avoid feeling guilty about not going out to that game, but it's now done. Thank you. Appreciate that. Jonathan Taylor Tannenwald. On the show. I probably cut him off. He probably had one more thing to say. Yeah, I wanted to do the show tonight. I live 20 minutes from Audi Field. I didn't make it out. I also have a four-month-old in my house. We're celebrating 4 months of life.
4 months, you say?
So, 4 months. We're celebrating 4 months.
When John's talking, like, and by the way, I love picking his brain on these type of topics. Like I said before, Philadelphia Inquirer, seek out John and find out, like, once he gets time to write the piece, you know it's going to be a good piece on this. The CBS stuff is really, really interesting here because, I mean, first of all, who would want to watch Micah Richards talk about MLS? I mean, not that would happen.
That doesn't mean they're going to use they might not use the same team.
You know what I'm saying.
You're saying that I could have Kate Abdo interpreting interviews post game live on CBS in MLS?
If you want to go the MLS model, if you want to pick up the MLS, grab Michael Richards and grab Clint Dempsey, and that's who you go back to in studio. Like, wouldn't you watch that every time?
Oh, my God.
I would tune in halftime.
If somebody could legitimately get Clint Dempsey to do, I don't think a game, I don't think a play-by-play, or a color commentary second chair guy.
No.
I don't think he's that
half-time
guy.
Half-time, post-game.
Stick him in a studio.
Clint Dempsey
sure.
could be our Absolutely. Micah Richards. I'm telling you, Micah Richards is he's the Charles Barkley or Shaq of like that TNT thing that they have. Micah Richards has that in the soccer side, and it's amazing when he gets in there. He's so loose, he's so funny, and I want that. I want that in MLS. I think Clint Dempsey could be that guy, and I just don't know for sure though.
Yeah,
Beasley could be that guy.
I don't know that he wants
Beasley,
to.
They gave Beasley a chance, and he's doing pretty well with it. I thought. COVID kind of hurt DeMarcus Beasley because he started doing it remotely. That timing thing isn't as good when it's remote, you know?
It's hard. I mean, the man's building a club in Fort Wayne in his hometown. He's making
good
a team,
him.
So I give him a pass for that.
Oh, and by
that.
The way, DeAndre Yedlin, now supporting owner of the San Diego Loyal.
Yeah, so we're up against it here. This is going to be an extra bonus long episode. We do have a bonus show that we're going to do. I think we're going to talk MLS and this week and some things happening in MLS on the bonus show. So if you're not signed up for the Patreon page, patreon.com/thebestsoccershow, a couple bucks will get you access to the bonus feed. You also get access to the Slack. And since Jared brought it up, Once we found out that DeAndre Yedlin had become a supporting owner of San Diego Loyal, nobody knows exactly what that means. Suddenly, all the besties are like, "Yes, we're supporting owners." Of the
all
best
the Patreon
show.
Members, man, they put in on it. Like
they're like, "Yeah, we're support." Somebody
they
a
made
couple
business
guys
cards
put it, on their LinkedIn page. They're like, "Supporting owner, the best soccer show."
So
and I'm like,
"If
well,
you
I'm
would like to
no.
be a supporting owner of the best soccer show, go to the patreon.com/bestsoccershow. Get yourself in on the Patreon, and welcome to being a new supporting owner."
You have to have the best soccer show. We're like Ohio State, okay, and Miami FC, the best soccer show. Get in with that. I do know that we don't have any reviews this week to throw on. I do feel as though Nicholas Soup and Salad needs to make some sort of appearance. And I know we're long, but there he is, Jared. What can we talk to Nicholas Soup and Salad?
His team got a win.
His soccer team won a game. Oh my God! Oh, Nick, how do you feel
and
right now,
scored
buddy?
One like of them.
Yes.
It's like Lacadia scored a goal. Yeah. Oh my God. Now I feel like the world's going to end tomorrow. I better wrap up some loose ends. What's going on?
You're not far off about the world ending, because this was the first time in their Major League Soccer history that FC Cincinnati had come back to win a game. They had lost 36 consecutive games.
FC Resolve, FC Gumption. Yeah. What are we going to call them now? The Goonies? Yeah.
That's taken. Unfortunately, yeah. Okay, the Cincies? Go ahead.
But it's pretty exciting and made my Saturday a lot better for sure. So I was very happy about that.
I'll say right now, Nick's been a sad suck the last couple of weeks as his team has been. Like, the dude has been, it's been tough. My man has to keep the energy up for his show. He's got to drive home for the fan base. He's got to deliver the product, and his team wasn't delivering for him. And this weekend they did. So I'm happy for you, my man.
Let's just.
Unlike my
good.
Team,
hey,
which
look,
was a red
he's,
card.
He's getting ready to go through first. Through a move, which is why his studio looks all, it looks like he's in a loony bin somewhere. They're letting him podcast out of his padded room or something. He's getting ready to move, building a house. And every time we talk to him about FC Cincinnati, he's like, I don't even care.
His skin's the same color as his
wall.
Don't
even talk to me about that. Hey, do not bust on pale people, okay? We're put upon. I go outside. If I go outside too long, I don't wear sunscreen, I burn, I turn red, I go right back. See, look, my man's got he's red right now. Like, that's just our natural
Nicky,
color. Like,
congratulations,
what are
you gonna do? To you, buddy.
Thank you. Hey, yeah, hey besties, yeah, come on. We had a good stretch of reviews there. Let's keep them coming. Apple Podcasts, get on it.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think anybody should be above creating an alternate account somewhere, a fake name, and adding to the review list. Don't tell iTunes I said that, but just... You know, like, use your imagination.
Absolutely.
But also do it if you haven't done it. Like, do that if you haven't done it. All right. Anything else? Any other business before we get out of here and go do the bonus show?
Just the bonus show. Anything? So for you guys that want to hear us talk about MLS a little bit and some other stuff, make sure you get in on the Patreon.
We may talk about the win for Cincinnati and the loss for LA Galaxy.
How Derek Williams should not see the field for at least three games.
Ooh, yeah, that's rough.
Hey, that's a Gossy. I told you that was nasty.
Yeah, you're going to start a war with Portland is what's going to happen. It's nasty. Okay,
screw that.
That's it. We're out of here. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
The best. Damn, dog. That's an approach.
Danger zone.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Duh and or hello.
The horror show.
Someone seems to think you have talent. But unfortunately, this is Los Angeles. I need more than talent. I need stars. Enjoy the game.
Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
Who asked those questions?
Michael fucking Orozco Fiscal.